This is a Doxcast, not an Argon Soxcast, or a Bendis and Loxcast. Now I'm hungry. This is a Doxcast. It's a nerdy Toxcast. Discuss a Moxcast with Rich Early and friends.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another unprepared episode of the Doxcast. I am your host tonight, Josh Trumbo. I'm alone in the media room here at Paradox Comics and Cards in beautiful Fargo, North Dakota, working on getting some kind of podcast going for you tonight. Did this not too terribly long ago, where I basically just sat down, asked the internet for some topics, and people came through. I'm hoping the same thing happens tonight. Right now, it's a little bit quiet on the chat front, but we'll see if the live audience comes through for me here tonight, and we'll just talk about some stuff. Things that are going on here at the store, things that are happening in nerddom in general, or in specific. What's going on? What sort of things are you excited about? What's coming up? What sort of things have you been disappointed in lately? What's on your mind? I'll kind of kick it off, and I'll just... Heck, I'm just going to keep going here until somebody puts something out there that that can direct me. So, I want to talk real quick about how awesome last Saturday was. So Saturday, March 7th, here at Paradox Comics and Cards. It was first Saturday of the month, which is our monthly game day. And we put together a fundraiser. We talked about it on the podcast. It's been on the website, on our Facebook, tried to get the word out there as much as we possibly could. But we did this fundraiser for the National Federation for the Blind, the Fargo chapter, and we put together a game day that we called It's Your Turn. And of course, our store owner, Rich Early, came up with that that title for the event, and it was really kind of a cool thing. So the idea is, in his experience, one of the things that people who are blind and low vision come across quite frequently is low expectations from other people, but from themselves as well. When in truth, people who are blind or low vision can do pretty much anything anyone else can do. We have so much technology right now, and just the way things are set up, it's entirely possible to function just as well as a sighted person. And we really wanted to highlight that. And that, of course, is very close to Rich, given his degenerative eye condition and what he's dealt with in his life. So we did this game day and focused on that. We paired with 64-ounce games to get some accessibility kits to put on some of the games. So basically what they are is like sleeves and Braille stickers. So for Pandemic, for example, you put stickers on the board and there's Braille on there so you can tell where the different locations are and where they connect to. And then on the cards, so a person who could read Braille could read those. And I had the joy of putting those together. I say that. It was really cool to see how it worked. I actually had to learn some Braille to be able to figure out which cards they all went on and make sure I was doing everything right. But it was a really cool event. I think we raised somewhere around $2,000 because of awesome people like you folks who come to the store, who took part in the magic events, who gave to the prize drawings, who just straight up gave money to this. We said we'd like for people to give a minimum $5 donation just to be in the store and play games today and do whatever. And, there was a great response. People who come to the store, every Saturday, first Saturday of the month, and play games during tabletop night or whatever, graciously gave to this thing that was happening. and it was a great experience. I'm sure we're going to have a bigger recap later and maybe even talk with some of the other people involved from the NFB or maybe even from 64 Ounce Games. But just so it's said, we are super grateful for all of you guys, and it really was a cool experience. And hopefully what we're hoping to do is turn that It's Your Turn title, that event, into a positive thing for other groups as well. So I figured I'd just start off with that. We have Blake Eric Schmidt in the chat, who asked if I have any info on the Bad Idea Comics and the types of books they'll be offering. That is an excellent question. Unfortunately, I do not. just off the top of my head here, I don't do a whole lot with the comics in the store. I read some. But for those of you who are not familiar with this, there's Bad Idea Comics is a new comics publisher, and a big part of what they're doing is really focusing on single issue comics for stores, like to bring people in and to get them actually buying and physically handling the media once again. I pulled up Bleeding Cool is the first thing that came up, and it says Bad Idea Comics, no digital, no collections, no variants, one per customer, 20 stores only. So it's coming out May 2020 is when they're making their debut, and they have a very limited number of series, and there will only be one or two single issues per month. And doing about a standard $3.99 cover price. So a very, very, you know, this is what a comic book typically is, a single issue. So looks like we have ENIAC by Matt Kint and Doug Braithwaite, and then Megalith by Louis LaRosa are a couple of the titles that are coming out. Looks like those are the first ones. So unfortunately, I don't have any real other information than that, what I'm just kind of pulling off the internet here. I'm sure that we will have a blog post very soon with some more information as best as we can to help promote this, and probably a full podcast with some of our comics experts, because this is kind of a cool thing. Like, they call themselves Bad Idea, but it's really kind of a good idea, I think. It's a very experimental idea, and we'll see how it goes. Just because, you know, it's good to offer things in a variety of formats. I don't necessarily think there's anything wrong with a digital comic book or having collections and variant covers and things like that, but part of the problem, you know, digital comic books definitely take away some of the business from the local comic shop. And having variant covers and things like that can be kind of prohibitive for some people, just because, you know, what do you actually pick up? Do you have to buy all of them? Some people are completionists and want them all, but you can't get them because this variant cover is only available in San Antonio. I don't know. So it's an interesting concept, basically just kind of, hey, let's get back to basics here. We're going to put out a couple of comic books every month, and their single issue, you go to a store and you buy it. Or maybe the store will ship it to you if you ask nicely. But it's an interesting idea. I like that they named it Bad Idea Comics. So Blake, in answer to your question, I don't really have any info, I'm sorry. but I did just talk for several minutes about this thing that I know very little to nothing about. It's definitely something that should be on your radar. Not just Blake, but you, the viewer, the audience here. It's so one thing that happened very recently was a comic book studio publisher called Boom Studios released a comic book called Once in Future, number one. And again, we had podcasts about it, we have blog posts, because it was a really big deal. The big deal with this was that it was, at least as far as I know, the first fully returnable comic book, which means if you went and bought it from the store, you came down to Paradox and you bought a copy, you could take it, read it. If you didn't like it, you could take it back, bring it back into the store, and you could exchange it for another comic book of an equal value, or thereabouts. So something like that was completely unprecedented at the time, which again, not that long ago. Very interesting tactic to say, we believe so much in this book that we want you to buy it and read it. We think you'll continue reading the rest of this series, which I think was 6 issues total. I think it was meant to be a limited series. But the, you know, the whole no risk angle to it meant that it was a lot more palatable to people who already have so many comic books they're buying or don't know where to get into comics, that sort of thing. Because, like I said, there's no real risk. You go and you buy it, you read it, you exchange it. If you don't like it, you exchange it for a different book. And that's, like I said, that's unheard of. And for the store to be able to offer that and return copies that didn't get sold to the publisher, they took all the risk on themselves. And that shows a lot of faith in the book and in the audience as well. And I think people really respond to things like that. Certainly, the sales of that book were quite good from what I understand, and very few actual returns. And from furthermore, a number of people went on to order the rest of the series. They read it, they said, yeah, this is good. I want to see what happens in the next 5 issues. And so it was a great move, and it made a difference. Because right now, during the month of March, there are 3 other comic books, and we do have a blog post about this on the website, paradoxcnc.com, that details a little bit more about these different titles that once again are fully returnable. So this is a great way to get people into your series, I think. To say, hey, you haven't heard of this before, it's brand new, it's not an established character, perhaps, or whatever. And to do that, and take that risk on the publisher, it just gets the book into more people's hands, which in turn sells more copies. Unless it's really horrible and everybody returns it, you have to imagine that it's a pretty good step. Now, how many books will be made fully returnable in the future and stuff, obviously we have yet to see. And how many of the big publishers, you know, which isn't a knock against Boom Studios, but we're talking Marvel, DC, probably even Image, we might put in there because they're a bit more indie, but they have a bigger presence these days. But it would be very interesting to see if because Marvel and DC are taking notice of this, of course, and to see what they end up doing. Now I say that, I don't remember where those other books are from that we're doing in March, so maybe they are already picking up on it. But it's really cool to see that people in the industry are trying new tactics instead of just throwing more books out or rebooting books. Here's the next, now it's number one, so people will buy it. You know, trying to just get people to get comic book sales to pick up by doing the exact same thing you've been doing. You know, it's the definition of insanity, right? It's to expect different results by doing the same thing over and over. So, yeah, I think it's very, very good for the comic industry in general that there are people who are thinking outside of the box and are willing to take these risks and go out there and say, we believe in comic books, we believe in what we do, so much so that we're going to put this out there and make it as easy as possible for you to get in. You don't have excuses now. No excuses for you. Just go pick up the book. If you don't like it, hey, that's fine. You can return it. Because I don't know how many other products are necessarily like that. I know there's a lot of stores. Like if you buy something from a Walmart, say, and you go and take it back, a lot of times they don't ask a ton of questions. As long as it's, you know, you bring it back and you've got a receipt, they oftentimes will take things back. But it's a bit different in that mass retail sort of section than it is in like comic books. So, that's a lot of talking about not exactly what the question was, but that's the best I can do from what I picked up and learned by doing some of our podcasts and things. I'm very excited to see where this Bad Idea Comics idea goes, and if it succeeds, if it fails, why it might succeed or fail. Obviously, if the books aren't any good, then you can't expect the model to succeed, right? But hopefully they've got good creators there and are creating good content that people will be interested in, and it will again send messages to the big publishers that, hey, you need to maybe take a different tactic. You maybe need to look at what these other people are doing, these other publishers are doing, because people are responding to it. So yeah, we'll see what happens there. So on the subject of comic books, any of the folks watching right now, thank you, by the way, for those of you who are tuning in live. Anything you guys are currently reading, anything that is particularly good that you picked up, or particularly bad? I personally, I need to check my box and see if there are any issues that I've missed. I have a feeling there's at least one or two. Mostly all that I'm getting right now is Saga, whenever that comes back, which, man, I can't wait for that to come back. But I guess there's maybe a TV series in development, and that's why it's on hiatus. I've heard various things. That's a fantastic series. I'm very excited to see the rest of that once that comes out. And I've also been getting Isola, I believe is how it was pronounced. We interviewed the creator of it a good year or so ago, and I don't remember right off the top of my head right now. But that's an interesting book. That's been... I've enjoyed that one quite a lot. There's a lot of... I really like the art style of it. I like the story of it. I think there's a lot of really great stuff in there, and it speaks to the medium quite well, that there are a lot of pages that are just sequential art, that the story can and oftentimes is told without using words, which, nothing against words. I like words, I use them, I'm using them right now. But it's very cool when you have a visual medium and the creators know how to use that visual portion of it and make it successful and make it effective. So those are the two books that are currently in my box, or whenever they actually have issues. Not too long ago, I was reading a couple more series. I got into Venom for a bit when Donny Cates took that over as the writer. That was really good. And then I kind of lost interest in it after a point. Because the run started off, so anybody who knows me, if you've listened to these podcasts enough, you've probably heard me talk about one or more of the Arkham Files board games. Arkham Horror, the card game specifically, is one of my absolute favorite games, and I'm excited to play. We've got a pack sitting there that we're waiting until Friday, me and my friend Paul play it. I like that. I like the whole Lovecraft mythos. Really enjoy that kind of cosmic horror genre. And there were definite Lovecraftian influences in those issues of Venom. I can't remember the numbering exactly, if that was a starting at one, or if that's when they did, like, this is issue one of this arc, but it's total, it's 500 or whatever it was. But I read those and really enjoyed it, and then it started to shift away from that. or there were fewer and fewer of those influences that I could really feel. It's not that the book got bad, it's just that I lost a lot of my interest in it. So I stopped picking that one up, and then I did, I read the first arc of, again, it was Donny Cates, his run on Guardians of the Galaxy. Because I really have enjoyed the works that Donny Cates has done that I've read. And so I figured I'd give that one a shot, and the first arc of that was good. But after that, hit that point, I didn't feel the need to keep picking it up. Again, not that it was bad or anything, but it just wasn't really striking my fancy. So I don't know if anybody else, if you're watching or listening to this, if you've read that, if you have any other insights into it, if you've read past that first several issues, I'd be curious to know where it was going and how it was doing, but it kind of lost me. And I also was reading Doom Patrol when they brought that back. And again, I read through what I believe would be the first arc of it, and actually it went on hiatus. It was gone for a bit, and then it came back, or there was like a slightly different Doom Patrol title. I don't really know, but after it kind of went away for a little while there, I just didn't bother to renew it into my box. So I haven't read any other issues. I don't know how many they've had, if it's still current, if they're still making them. But it was, in my opinion, it was good, but I don't know. It just didn't feel as genuine as when Grant Morrison was writing it back in the 90s. I think that was the 90s that he took over that Doom Patrol comic. Because I do have the collected run of it from when he was writing. And, you know, not all of it is amazing. Obviously, I think there's very few writers and creators who have a long run on a book that it's super strong all the way through. But it definitely felt very genuine coming from Grant Morrison. Like, the ideas and everything presented in there were bizarre, sometimes completely wacky, sometimes very philosophical, sometimes just very grotesque and terrifying in a way. And yeah, that Morrison's run on it was really quite spectacular. It was very, very good. And so this more current run on it was good. It caught a bit of, you know, the spirit of the Doom Patrol books, but there are also some things that just felt weird for the sake of being weird. Like, when I read Morrison's run on it, there were weird stuff. There were some very weird things in there, and it got very bizarre in some places, like almost incomprehensible in places, but it always felt like there was a purpose behind it. Like, here's the reason this is the way that it is. And yeah, maybe it doesn't make for a great story right here, but, you know, it at least seemed like it was purposeful. My feelings on the book, the more recent run on it, were that, it just felt weird for the sake of being weird. Like, what could we do that would be really weird and just throw people in this panel? And they would do it. And, you know, like, one of the heroes from, you know, you eventually get the old Doom Patrol back along with new members. And there's one of the members is, for some reason, like a microscopic size and living on a burrito in a garbage can. Like, it's like, where did that come from? Like, what's the philosophical thing there? It just didn't quite. There may be something, and I just missed it. But it felt kind of artificial, and like I said, they sat there and basically said, okay, so what can we do that's going to be really odd here? Because Doom Patrol is really odd. So that's my opinion on that. And that's about all I think I have on comic books for the moment. I used to read them quite frequently back in college, and then I fell off for a long time. Kind of got back on for a bit in recent years, and fell off again just because they're... I haven't found a series that's really caught me, or very many series. I was mentioning Saga and even Isola. I think those are both fantastic, and I'm excited to see what else happens there. And Saga, again, is a book where very strange things happen. Like, just, it's out in space, and there seems to be very, very little rhyme or reason to a lot of it. Just like, all right, and now this character is following them, and it's essentially a star-nosed mole, but humanoid. It's like, okay. But I like that a lot in that sort of story, because it's not like they did it like, oh, this would be super weird. It's just, we don't have to explain everything to everybody. Just know that there is a very large galaxy, and there are all sorts of people and aliens and things, and you don't have to have all their backstory and stuff. That's just this character. And maybe the animal traits of the character play into their personality or their story or something. Maybe there's some metaphor there and things that you can pull out. But it's weird, but not specifically for the sake of being weird. It's just, that's the world that they want to build the book in. So that's something that I really appreciate. Because that does seem to be a thing now with movies and TV shows and such, where people really do want everything explained. And I think that's a detriment. Because one of the greatest things about a book is that it's words on a page and your imagination fills in all of the gaps. It creates the characters and the setting based on, you know, the words that you read, you put it together. And so your interpretation of a character might be very different from someone else's interpretation of a character. And I like that kind of ability to put yourself into it, or to put you, imprint yourself onto it. And anymore, it's just, you know, you look at the latest batch of Star Wars movies, and they did that with some of the things, but they either didn't give us enough, or they gave us too much, or they gave us the right amount, but people were still upset because they wanted more. And there just seems to be a lack of wanting to create it yourself, or to seek it out. You know, one of the very funny things, like, there will be Twitter accounts associated with Star Wars, and they'll put out information like, oh, did you know in the last movie it was confirmed that this was a Palpatine clone or whatever? And Elijah Wood very hilariously has been responding to those things by saying, how could we have possibly known that? Which I think is hilarious, but I think it's also part of the point is that there is reason for some of the things that you're seeing, but it hasn't all been explained to you because that's not important. Or it is important, but only if you want to seek it out. And I that's one of the things that I absolutely loved about the original Star Wars trilogy, is that there was so much of it. Like, you go into that cantina scene in A New Hope, and there's all these various aliens. Like, none of them look the same, except the band is all the same, guys, right? Like, everybody else looks different. There cannot be more than one of this type of alien at the bar. There's some kind of policy there, I don't know. But each one of those, like, they fit. And they didn't bother to go, okay, so this is Deveronian. Just so you know, they have horns, they look like devils, and this over here is a Shistavana, and they're like wolfmen, you know, whatever. But that information came out in various other sources, whether it was a book or a role-playing source book or something like that. And when I was in high school, and I really started getting into Star Wars, maybe even a bit in junior high before that, time gets fuzzy as I get older. But it was really cool to seek those things out. And I remember going to larger cities, because I grew up in Aberdeen, South Dakota. So we, you know, we had access to the things. We weren't like rural by any means, but you know, this is back in the days before all the internet was huge and internet shopping and stuff connected everybody to every product. And I remember going to these stores and finding these Star Wars books. You know, here's the essential guide to vehicles, and you pick that up and you just go through, and here's like the schematic of this Star Destroyer, and here's this. And it really helped build that world, and you shared that knowledge with your friends. It's like, hey, I got this book, and this guy would borrow it, and then you'd be talking about this speeder, you know, and oh, well, it's got this type of engine, but, and you'd piece those things together, and it would really make that universe complete. But it wasn't necessary to enjoy the films. Like, you could watch A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi, whatever, not have any idea what these vehicles were actually called, who developed them, why the Rebellion had this, but the Empire had this, and you could still really enjoy the movie. But for those of us who really got into it and dug in and found that information, that made it so much more rich and exciting. And it's so weird, because we have people who very casually want and expect to know all about everything. And that's, I mean, that's part of what the internet does for us, right? If you want to know something, you go and you type it into Google, and you get a whole bunch of stuff. You go on Wikipedia or wherever, and, you know, anybody can be an expert on anything. And I did air quotes there. God help me, I did air quotes for those of you who are just listening to the audio. And there's nothing specifically wrong with that. I'm not trying to, you know, say that we're living in this era and we need to go back to the good old days, blah, blah, blah. Not advocating that by any means. But I think it's really shifted how people absorb information and how they expect to absorb information. So that when you watch a new Star Wars movie, as an example, you kind of expect to know all about, it's like, okay, well, here's Snoke, you know, he's Supreme Leader Snoke, and he has a lot of various traits that come through, you know, in the way that he dresses, and he's got this big scar, he's kind of deformed, and, you know, when he has his holographic projection, it's huge, so you can pick up, like, character things from that, and Andy Serkis's performance, and everything in there, and that's really cool. But then people get mad when you don't spoon-feed them the rest of the information. Like, okay, so where does Snoke come from? Where is he really from? What's, you know, and then when he dies in The Last Jedi, people are just like, well, that's just dumb, because he was the villain and now he's gone. And then turns out, you know, you'll know what happened in Rise of Skywalker, those of us who watched it and care about that. And, you know, and it's fine. But it's just weird how people expect that information, and you look at Empire Strikes Back and then Return of the Jedi, when Emperor Palpatine was introduced. First, he was just a hologram for like a couple minutes in Empire, where he tells Vader to go and do something, and you're like, oh man, someone's holding Vader's leash. You know, I mean, yeah, he listened to Tarkin on the Death Star, but, you know, he was still very much in charge. But it's, oh, there's someone who's worse, and it's a Dark Lord of some sort, and that's interesting and cool. And then Return of the Jedi, he shows up and he's just a great villain. I mean, God, if you did not hate him by the end of that whole Death Star 2 sequence, where he's trying to turn Luke to the dark side and just being the smarmiest, most miserable person. God, you want to strangle him. It's so effective. But then he gets thrown down a shaft and he's dead. And it doesn't talk about where he came from, or who he studied under, or why he's so powerful, or what his lightsaber looked like, or anything like that. Obviously, we got some of those things in the prequel movies when they came out, but at the time, I watched those in my time, obviously after they came out, when I was junior high, high school. And I loved it because there was enough of a character there for me to imagine the rest, and whatever little pieces of information filtered in from friends and other sources, as we got those bits of information, it built on that and it made it so good. So, there you go. That was a lot of ranting and tangents and who knows whatever else, but we filled up a decent amount of time here. So my huge thanks to Blake for popping in and asking a question, even if I couldn't actually answer that question. I feel bad that the only one that I got tonight is something that I couldn't really shed any light onto, but I do appreciate that you were there. And I hope, folks, if I do end up doing more of these podcasting sessions like this are just kind of random, you know, when we need to fill an episode, because we do intend to keep the episodes going. Obviously, we want more structured content, guests, and more purpose behind it, but sometimes just kind of keeping it going is the focus. And so for tonight, that was the thing. We'll be back with more episodes of, like I said, more structured type, an actual topic, and more people talking than just me. But hopefully you enjoyed this anyway. If I do end up doing more of these in the future, I hope if you catch them that you will come on and ask questions or bring up a topic, something that's on your mind, and just having a good chat. But either way, do appreciate anybody and everybody who tuned in, whether it was live tonight or if you're listening to the audio later. Just as a reminder, Paradox Comics and Cards is right here at 26 Roberts Street, Fargo, North Dakota. We have a website at ParadoxCNC.com. We also have a Facebook page, Paradox Comics and Cards, at ParadoxCNC on Twitter, and ParadoxCNC on Instagram. So check us out on our social media. Check out the event calendar for the store here, because we do have a lot of great events going on all the time. There's recurring magic events outside, if you can, you most likely can hear that because our microphone picks up quite a bit. But we have Adventurers League for Dungeons and Dragons going on every Wednesday night. That's what's happening right now in the store. Word on the street is we're considering adding a second night because we're pretty much filled to capacity. So we'll, of course, give you more details on that as it comes up for those who are interested in Dungeons and Dragons. It's a great way to learn to the game. Because I believe the first time you come to an Adventurers League night, it is free, so you can kind of get in there and test it out and see if you like it, and hopefully you'll come back for more. So that's something we have going on regularly. Last Geek Plays popped into Twitch. Hi! Good to see you. Thank you for dropping in the chat here. Just wrapping up a very long-winded podcast. It's not long-winded. It's not going longer than our usual ones, but it is just a lot of me talking. So if there's anything on your mind that you want to talk about real quick, post it up in the chat there, because mostly, if anybody listened all the way through this, it's just been a lot of me talking about whatever happens to be on my mind. There was a train of thought in there somewhere that I think makes some kind of sense if you go from start to finish, but we'll see. But yeah, we like I said, we have lots of great events. First Saturday of every month is our game day, and we usually have some good demos going on there for role-playing games, some board games sometimes. Coming up in April, we are going to have a cool event that we're still working out, fine-tuning the details, but it's going to be based a lot around the game Half-Truth, which will be releasing, I believe, on April 1st. And that is a trivia game created by Ken Jennings, who you might remember from winning Jeopardy a lot, and then winning the Greatest of All Time tournament, and Richard Garfield, who, of course, created Magic the Gathering, Keyforge, Roborally, Bunny Kingdom, a lot of stuff. Very, very well known in the gaming sphere. So the two of those people coming together and creating a game seems like it could have a lot of merit. So we're going to base a good event around that, that we hope a lot of people will show up to and play and enjoy. And it'll only take about an hour, we're projecting. So if you do want to come and play games, obviously open tables will be there all day. But if you want to take part in the event, it won't take up your entire night. So yeah, check that stuff out. I believe if you're listening to this live, there is a Mystery Booster tournament or Mystery Booster draft of some sort for Magic the Gathering happening this weekend, which is Friday the 13th and Saturday the 14th. That looks like a lot of fun. We got a lot of really good prize support from Wizards of the Coast. I think due in large part to the fact that we are a Wizards Premium store, which is cool. So come out and support that. Enjoy those events. And I'm blanking on anything else that's coming up, but as far as streaming goes, we do these podcasts. We aim to do them in a block, get together for a night and record a bunch in a row so that way we can stack them up and then release them weekly. We do release them. They're out every Monday, usually sometime on Sunday, but we tell people Monday because then they're for sure up then for you to go and download and listen to. So you can get that on our website. We do also have a comic show on Tuesday where our comic experts talk about the books that are going to be releasing that week or the next day, because comic book day is Wednesday. So you can listen to them talk about those things, tune in, give your own thoughts. There's some reviews on other books, previews for things coming out, and it's super easy to order books. If they're talking about a book and you're interested, you just go in the chat and say, hey, please add this to my box, and they will do that. So it's a really cool show, a really easy way to find out about comics and to order them. And then on Thursdays, we have our Tabletop Thursday. So tomorrow night, if you're watching this live, we'll be in for a round of Gloomhaven, which is a fantastically fun game. I love Gloomhaven, look forward to playing it. So we're going to be doing that this Thursday. And I believe there will be some other streaming content here and there. But either way, I hope you check it all out. I hope you enjoy it. Thanks for putting up with me tonight. In this endeavor, and we'll see you on the next DoxCast.
This was a DoxCast. Hope you think it rocks cast. Oh, look at the clocks cast. Until next time, be gone.